Beautiful. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In case you missed the beginning of the service, I am John Benham, the Congregational Care Pastor, and it is a joy to be with you here today, both in person and online. We're in the second week of a five-week sermon series that's titled Under the Circumstances, Leading in Anxious Times. The series is based on the book Congregational Leadership in Anxious Times by Peter L. Steinke. It's subtitled Being Calm and Courageous No Matter What. This is one of the books that we studied in seminary about congregational life. I'm pretty sure that you would agree with me that we're living in anxious times, whether it be politically, economically, emotionally, vocationally, weather-wise, or even spiritually. Our hope with this series is to somehow translate the truths that that book teaches, which is focused on congregational leadership, into the areas where we all are leading today. We all lead in one way or another, whether it be in our homes, in our church, at work, at school, or in our community. And we as Christians are to be more than just simply reacting or responding to the anxious times. We exist in them, and Christ calls us as his disciples to be calm and courageous no matter the times. Setting the temperature in the room and not just taking it. As Pastor Ben likes to say, we're to be more like thermostats, setting the temperature, than like thermometers, merely measuring it. Our theme verse for this series is Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Okay, are you doing that or am I? Well, okay. Anyway, Jesus says this to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This verse is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it follows immediately after the Beatitudes, which detail the future blessedness of his disciples. So you know that this is something very important that Jesus wants his disciples, including us, to know. We're to let our light shine before others so that they may see. Maybe I did that. Oh well. They may see our good deeds, and this is the key point, glorify our Father in heaven. Martin Luther tells us that the good deeds that Jesus is talking about are the expressions and confessions of the teaching about Christ and faith. He says that shining our light is the real job of believing or teaching, by which others will then also be helped to believe. Each week during this sermon series, we'll be looking at scripture that then helps us know how to let your light shine, so that God can effectively use us in anxious times to bring others to him through faith in Jesus. Last week, Pastor Ben introduced the series with a sermon titled Under the Circumstances, The Balancing Act. He talked about how we're to be in the world but not of it. He said that in order to do that, we need to have guardrails in place so that when we encounter others who are anxious and hold different opinions than ours, we neither cut them off by not having anything to do with them, nor remain silent and give the impression that our opinions are fused with theirs. Somehow we need to live in between those guardrails. As he said, we're to stand out without standing apart. His scripture was Luke 18, 9 through 14, where Jesus illustrated this teaching with the parable of the proud Pharisee and the humble tax collector. It was really more about the attitudes and the behaviors of these two characters than the jobs that they filled. This week, our sermon is titled, Under the Circumstances, Influence, and it's based on Luke 6, 39 through 45. Our question to consider is this. How are you positioning yourself for maximum influence with the people around you? Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're saying to us today about how you would have us live our lives so that our influence with the people around us will be maximized and you will be glorified. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. As I said earlier, we live in anxious times. Next one, please. That's fine. Studies tell us that anxiety affects about 1 in 3 people in adults in the United States at some time or other in their lives. Anxiety is a kind of fear. And the command, fear not, is the most repeated command in the Bible. In fact, it's been said that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. One fear not for every day of the year. Anxiety is an emotional reaction usually having to do with the thought of a threat or something going wrong in the future rather than fear of a present danger that's happening right now. In his book, Peter Steinke states that the leader is always in a position to influence the anxiety in a congregation. He identifies 4 critical circumstances in which the leader can have a dramatic positive influence on the anxiety of a congregation. Somehow, I guess they felt this was important for young pastors to learn. There are times of crisis when something upsets the status quo of the congregation. There are times of bewilderment when the congregation just doesn't know what to do. Times of stagnancy when the congregation has always done something the same way, but a change is really needed. And a new situation which the congregation has never faced before. Steinke proposes that in each of these critical anxious circumstances, the leader can influence the direction and outcome for the congregation by specific behaviors. In times of crisis, the leader can influence the congregation by remaining calm. Times of bewilderment, when the congregation doesn't know what to do, the leader can influence by providing focus. When the congregation is experiencing stagnancy, the leader can influence the congregation by challenging them. And in a new situation, the leader can influence the congregation by promoting change. So behaviors are different in each of these kinds of situations. In looking at all these 4 critical circumstances in a congregation, it seems that the one that applies most directly to the anxiety that we're experiencing in our culture today is crisis. Whether it be political, economic, emotional, vocational, weather-related, or even spiritual, people are anxious about a perceived future crisis. If that's the case, applying Steinke's proposal for how the leader can best influence the anxiety of those around them is to remain calm in the midst of the crisis. So how do we do that? We all experience anxiety to some degree about the future. How do we remain calm in those anxious times? And how might our text from Luke 6 give us some insights into that? Jesus says in Luke 6, 41 and 42, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank that's in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Notice he doesn't say, don't remove the speck from your brother's eye. But he says, take the plank out of your own first. If the speck of sawdust and the plank are somehow related to the emotion of anxiety, Jesus is saying to first deal with your own anxiety. First, he says, take the plank out of your own eye so that you can present a calm exterior in a perceived crisis and be in a better position to influence your brother and help him with his anxiety. Well, that's great, but how do we calm our own anxiety? Well, we humbly confess our anxiety as the sin that it is. Remember that fear not is a command. That's what the Greek tells us. So when we're anxious, we're actually breaking that command. We don't normally think of anxiety as a sin, but it is. Then what we do is receive the forgiveness that Jesus won for us by his death and resurrection. We've sung about that several times this morning. And then we remind ourselves that God is in control. He'll work in all things for our good, as we hear in Romans 8:28, which says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice it does not say that all things are good, but that God works in all things for our good. Then we live in God's peace, that peace that passes all understanding. You know, we say that a lot, God's peace passes all understanding. But when we experience that peace, what do? Try to understand it, right? And then we get crazy and pretty soon we're anxious again. Live in it. Accept it. It passes all understanding, so don't try to understand it. And that will then position us for maximum influence to help the people around us with their anxiety. And rather than trying to convince others of our point of view, we listen to them and try to understand where they are coming from. People are desperate to be listened to be heard today. Many times, they don't want to be told what to do. They just want you to hear what they're saying and say, I get it. That's a bummer. Most of you know that I volunteer at a pregnancy center in Hamilton as a coach in their Father Services ministry, where we help young fathers-to-be get a better idea of what it means to be a dad, because most of them don't have a clue. There's a great saying on a wall plaque that hangs in the coach's room that says this: speak in such a way that others love to listen to you, and listen in such a way that others love to speak to you. I love that. Listen for understanding rather than looking for a way to make your own point. So many times we wait for the person to take a breath so we can quick interject what it is we're trying to convince them of. If we can minimize our anxiety by trusting that God is in control of the situation, which he is, and listen to others for understanding, they're going to see something different in us. And God will use that opportunity in such a way that he'll be glorified. And our theme verse from Matthew 5, 14 through 16, that says, let your light shine, will be happening. And we may even gain a new friendship in the process. I've experienced that personally during one of the many mergers and buyouts that I went through in my years in the corporate world before I went to seminary. God gave me the opportunity to share with others how my faith helped me remain calm in those anxious times, knowing that God's in control and he's going to work his will in the situation for my good. May not be the way I think it should be, but he will do it for my good. Recently, I experienced how the behavior of other people can influence my thinking about them. My wife Beth and I spent a few days in Amish country up near Columbus last month. I was influenced by the peace and the tranquility that the Amish people appear to have. It wasn't just them, it was the whole place. It was great. It really was. So much so that I bought this book titled, What the Amish Teach Us. It's very enlightening. Beth said that it was almost like I wanted to become Amish. I would have to do a lot of beard growing to make that happen. I don't, obviously, but I was influenced by their behavior and their demeanor. So back to our question, how are you positioning yourself for maximum influence with the people around you? Are you able to remain calm in the face of the anxious times that we live in? Or do you find yourself in an argument trying to make your point rather than listening in such a way that others love to speak to you and love to listen as you speak? Remember that as Christians, people are watching us to see if our faith makes a positive difference in how we behave. There's a rather challenging question I heard once, which drives the point home, and it goes like this. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's kind of convicting right there. Remember, as Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, we're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works that will glorify God. So here's the takeaway. To maximize your influence in the anxious times that we live in, confess to God your own anxiety about the future. Even if you can't do that, confess to Him that you can't do that. And then secondly, receive the forgiveness that you have in Jesus. Third, trust that God is in control of the future and He will accomplish His will, which is for your good, no matter what happens. That's the thing. We give it to God and then things start happening. We're saying, no, wait a minute, that's not quite how I thought it should go. Then we live in peace and tell those who ask that your faith in God is what gives you that peace, and God will be glorified. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Amen.